Okay, we should have enough juice. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Dalid. We're in the midst of discussing halachas of Mavir, of kindling a flame. And in the Maznaim text, that puts us on page 208 and 209, Halacha 4. Okay, we're talking about if a fire happens in one's house, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, and to extinguish it purely for the sake of saving money is not allowed to be done. Only to save lives you're allowed to do that. And the Rambam went to the extreme that even if it means everybody would leave the city, but nobody would die and the whole city would burn up, in the Rambam's times at least, that should be the halacha. However contemporary, that doesn't fit in. So we're continuing talking about what to do. What are the other options you have if, God forbid, there's a fire in one's house? So Halacha Dalet continues. Mutar lasos mechitza b'chol ha'kelim bein meleim bein rekonim kedei shel tavrad leka. Let's say the fire is localized in a certain part of the house. You're allowed to make a barrier of different utensils, regardless if they're filled or empty, so that the fire will not pass. So in other words, it contains the fire. You're surrounding them with an impregnable wall, let's say. That's fine. You haven't done anything. You're just containing the fire. Even to the point of afilu klei cheres chadoshim leim mayim oisim mechitza, you can take earthenware utensils that are new, that are filled with water, and you can make a barrier around it. Afal pi, though we know what's going to happen. Shebavadei misbakim u'machabim. What will happen? Eventually the fire will burn the barrel will burst, the water will empty out, and we'll put out the fire. Isn't that a nifty trick? Right? Because here, shegram kibui mutter. That here, a grama of extinguishing is allowed, and that would be similar for other malachas, where it says, lo sasa kol malacha, doing a malacha is usser. But a gram kibui, a grama, is allowed, and it is allowed only to avoid a financial loss. But in other areas, grama is not allowed on Shabbos. So that would be a way out of the issue. So that would be allowed. Or, as well, v'koyfin ka'or al gabayanir, or you could put a bowl on top of a flame, v'shvil shalei to'achas b'kor, so it doesn't catch to the ceiling and shouldn't burn. And we'll see there's other examples that the halacha will give. Let's say there's a fire on the table here. So you could do this. You could pour water over the table on the sides. So when the fire does spread, it will hit the fire. Water will be contained. But the same type of a grama, which would be allowed to do.
Rabbi, when he says put a bowl on top, he doesn't mean extinguish it by putting a bowl.
Yeah, just put a bowl over it and keeps the fire contained.
Won't that eliminate the oxygen and put it out?
Let's say it doesn't take out all the oxygen. It could be a kind of a thing that's
it's not airtight.
Not airtight,
yeah,
or something.
You wouldn't be allowed to put a bowl on top of it and put it out that way.
No, it says it has to be suspended.
Oh, okay, good. So suspended. So that way, okay, that makes sense. Okay, halacha hey. Teva shida umigdol. These are different types of boxes or chests, large ones or small ones, or it could be a dresser, these types of things. Shachas bem ur, they've caught on to fire. So what could you do? Maybe or gedi ukiyetze bemidvarim sheino ur mislaheta so some uporsal akotze shadayin lo nisraf. We could do is you could take the skins of a goat, and you can, or similar ones, for things that fire doesn't catch, and you spread it on the other edge of the chest, or whatever, that has not caught on fire. Kedei shel saver shama esh, the fire will not pass over them. So certainly the Meforshim have a little problem with this Rambam, because what's the Chiddush there? We already discussed how Gram Kibui is allowed, where you can indirectly cause the thing to be extinguished and putting the barrels that burst and put it out. Certainly you'd be allowed to just hold back the fire. What's the purpose of this new insight? Meforshim have a difficulty with this Rambam. It seems to be an obvious halach. Vav. Talis she'achas ba'ur. Let's say a garment, a talis, catches on fire. Whoa. You don't want it to burn out. So what can you do? Poshta, you could spread it out, umiskasaba, and cover yourself with it. You can put it on. In other words, you take the talis, you put it on, the im cups are cups, and if it happens to go out, it happens to call out. You know, and that would be a grumma for that as well. V'chein sefer Torah shachas bo'or. What if a sefer Torah, God forbid, would catch fire? Paish to v'kerba, you spread it out and you read from it. V'im kava kava, and it goes out, it goes out. In other words, you're rolling it. You're, like you're reading. Start reading it. And by rolling it, it may happen to go out. So it happens to go out. Wasn't your direct kavona for that. Or, that was halacha also mentioned. V'nais in mayim in atzad, you can put water on the side. Shadayin lo nitla bo'or, where the fire hasn't caught yet. V'im kava, so kava, it goes out, it goes out. Now, what if shochach ner dolok al gabe tablo? What if you forgot and you left a lit flame, candle on top of a board? And you know what's going to happen? It's going to catch on to the board, the whole board, the whole table is going to get on fire. So what are you allowed to do? Minaris at tablo enough, you're allowed to shake the table and it'll fall off. Vim kaba kaven, it goes out, it goes out. Okay. Now, the rabbis ask, wait a minute. Rabbis ask, when you shake it out, the oil is going to pour out. Already said, if you reduce the oil, it's like extinguishing. Right? And even if you're going to say he's not miskaven for this, he doesn't intend it, but that's a psik reisha. That's something that's going to evidently happen. So we have to go come on to this sheet of the Baal Orach that we mentioned long ago. The psik reisha, the lolichale, something that must happen, but you're not happy with it, is allowed. So similarly over here, when you're shaking the oil, you're not happy because the oil is being wasted, and therefore you're not happy that you're wasting the oil, and therefore it's something you don't want, and therefore it's permitted. Now, certainly, others say, maybe we're speaking just about a candle of wax, and we're not talking about an oil candle. So, let's say the oil has totally gone out, and there's no oil being wasted. So then that wouldn't be a factor. Now there's another problem though. What about the table being muktza? Wait a minute. If you got a candle on a table, the table's muktza. There's a concept called basis ledavar ha'aser. If something's a base to muktza, that becomes muktza itself. How can you even shake the table to begin with? So that's what Rambam says in the next line. Aval hinicha mebe'erev, if you left the candle from the evening of Shabbos coming in, afal pisha kavi, though it goes out, also tells you cannot move the table. So obviously, we're speaking in a case where if it was placed on it, then it would be muktzah. So there'd be problems. So we'd have to be speaking in a case where it wasn't intentionally put. Let's say you forgot it or something like that. So the case before has to be something like you forgot it or something, and therefore you're allowed to move it. Okay, final halacha in Hilchas Mavir. Nochri Shabal Lechabos, let's say there's a fire in a Jew's house, and a goy comes along to put it out. He's there. So, Ein Omrim Lo Kabeh, we can't say, go put it out, because since you're not allowed to put it out, you can't tell the goy to put it out. But on the other hand, we also don't say, you don't have to say, Ve'al Techabeh, you don't have to say to him, don't put it out. You're not allowed to say, go put it out, but you don't have to say, don't put it out. Because if the goy wants to do it, because he's doing it for himself, let's say, for his own pleasure, so that you don't have to stop him. I'm not obliged to keep the goy from not working his own work. For whatever reason, he wants to put it out, so I don't have to stop him. But if a young child comes to put it out, ain't shomim lo, you don't listen to him. Mean to say, you have to stop him. That's when he's doing it with the father's understanding. In other words, he understands that it's a good thing for his father, and he's doing it for his father. So in that case, you don't let him do it. If the kid knows, oh, my father's thing is burning, and I don't want my father's thing to burn, then he'd be doing it for the father, so then we would stop him. But if he's doing it on his own, then Bez is not obliged to stop him from doing it. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara brings a story with Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisni that he lost the keys to the Beis Medrash in a public thoroughfare. It's a big problem. So they came to Rav Pedas to ask what to do. So he says, listen, just take your little child, little baby over there and let them play, and he might find the keys and then he'll bring it on his own. If it's a little kid, he's playing with the keys, so he'll find the keys, let him play, and he'll come to the shul and he'll bring the keys for you. So this Gemara learns that even if a young child eats not kosher food, the Bezin doesn't have to separate him from that. Okay? So, because when the Torah talks about keeping the Shabbos, it's about people who have the intelligence to keep it. So therefore, little children don't know the difference. So the same thing over here, if the little child is putting out the fire because it's an interesting thing for him to do, we don't have to stop him. That's what the halacha is saying. But if the kid's old enough to know he's doing it to help the father, then he's doing it like with the father's permission. It's like the agent of the father. It's not allowed. But a kid, a very little child who on his own does things. You know, so for example, if you leave the fridge door open, and you open the fridge door and you find the lights on. So what do? Okay, so you let your little two-year-old play with the fridge door till he closes it. You know, and he doesn't know that he's doing that. He doesn't understand what he's doing.
And you tell him not to open it again.
What?
And you tell him not to open it.
You probably can't.
Whatever. You don't have to tell him not to open it either. I mean, he wants to play with the door, he plays with the door. So that's okay. Final halacha, let me just finish this first. Ubedleika, and when we're talking about fires, hitiru lomer, we're allowed to say one other thing. He can make a general announcement in front of non-Jews. Kol hamechaba ain't a mafsid. I'm just letting everybody know, anybody who puts it out, you ain't gonna lose. You ain't gonna lose if you put it out. That's not a direct telling the non-Jews about it. As long as he doesn't instruct the non-Jew directly to extinguish the fire, he can still indirectly encourage them to do that. Since we didn't promise anything specific, so the non-Jew is considered as working on his own behalf. But we were lenient because, you know, if it's for a fire, people lose money. So if anybody puts out, they're not going to lose by doing that. And then that would be all right. Yes, sir. Well, if you weren't intending, so if it's like a clear thing and something like that, you know for sure that's going to happen, you shouldn't do it.
Well, the same as the telus, if you open the telus and whip it around, the wind is
going. But you're not, you're just putting it on like normal. It's not necessarily going to go out. It's not a psik ratio. If something's going to for sure do it, you can't do it. If it's not going to for sure do it, then it's not a problem. You're just going to walk by the table. It's not necessarily going to go out. So then you can walk by it. You certainly shouldn't run past it.
Much greater.
Why is it pikuach nefesh? Who's going to
die? Who's going to die from a fire in your house?
So go out of the house.
Said, if somebody
it depends. If someone's for sure going to die, you can put it out directly.
No, for sure. There's a potential.
That's what we talked about yesterday. It depends. You have to size up the situation. If the size of the situation.
It could spread extremely quickly. But that's what you said. That
as we spoke about yesterday. I'm not going to go over yesterday's whole shmooze on this. And we're going to go again in the halacha in here anyway. But again, if there is no issue of anybody being hurt, then you can't put out the fire. If there's a likelihood, we said nowadays we do concern ourselves, and you could put it out anyway. We'll discuss ways halacha might say to put it out. Yeah.
That strange hint that you gave for a crowd of non-Jews. Can you just yell out fire?
For sure, but that might not be direct enough.
Say this, fire, fire. People know.
So the guy says good. Koi says, good, I hate you, Jews. Right? I'm just saying. If you say anybody who puts it out won't lose, okay, that might be a little bit more inviting. And it's even that is allowed. Certainly fire is allowed. Okay, so that's the end of the Rambam. So let's take a look at some halacha l'maisa. Again, the definition of mavir is defined as creating or enlarging a fire. Okay? And again, the biblical prohibition of fire is lighting a fire for a beneficial purpose. But even for no beneficial purpose, it transgresses the rabbinic prohibition. Now, which activities are included in the malach of kindling a fire? So we say creating a new fire and enlarging or prolonging an existing fire. So certain actions are understood by all to involve the creation of fire, and there are other actions that are not so clear. Obviously, striking a match clearly is mavir. Also, when you strike something and sparks come off a flint onto a heap of tinder or something like that, or kindling, causing it to burst in flame, that also violates mavir. Another example, let's say you set an object on fire by concentrating the sunlight from a magnifying glass.
Oh, yes.
Remember when we were little kids?
Yes.
We wanted to do that, right? Make a fire.
The garden shed.
Right? So that is also not allowed. Same idea we mentioned yesterday. Using an existing fire to create a new fire. Transferring a fire, lighting one candle to another. That's also kindling because you're kindling the new fire. Similarly, making metal red hot is also considered making a fire, which now gets us on to the issue of electric lights. So turning on an incandescent bulb, one that has a red hot filament, is certainly the malacha of Mavir, because a glowing filament is considered a fire. Now, although, you know, only incandescent bulbs are this red hot filament, but fluorescent bulbs also contain a piece of metal that heats up during its use. And this piece of metal can even become red hot, and therefore even a fluorescent bulb will be considered a violation of Mavir. I don't know about if there's any other kinds of bulbs.
LEDs.
So
like the bulbs downstairs on the door, that little...
Okay, we'll talk about that. That's later on. We'll talk about that later on. Another prohibition is enlarging or prolonging a fire. Let's say fanning a fire, with bellows or something like that. Lifting a burning wick so more of it can be exposed and it enlarges the flame is not allowed. If you also prolong the duration of the fire, so you can't add oil to burning lamp. Now, here's a whole bunch of practical applications of fire. Pressing the accelerator on a car, it releases gas into the combustion chamber of the engine where it's ignited. So therefore, driving a car is clearly the malach of Mavir, at least that malach, if not more malachas. Oh, sure. It's clearly making a fire. Combustion engine car is a fire. You can't make a bulb burn more brightly by even raising a dimmer to a higher setting that enlarges the fire. Even sterilizing a needle by placing it in the fire, making it red hot, would not be allowed unless we mamish was a pikuach nefesh situation. We already mentioned adding oil to a lamp is not allowed. Okay, a table with an oil lamp on it. You got to be careful, as we said, not to shake the oil in the lamp. Because once you shake it, it causes the oil to move either closer or further away to it, and that itself would be making the fire or putting out the fire. Again, it's all assuming that the item is not muktzah before Shabbos anyway. However, let's say clothes that give off static electricity while being taken off or put on is allowed to be. Nobody ever burnt themselves by putting on a sweater yet, on record, I believe. You know, put on a sweater. Man burned himself up by putting a sweater on. I don't know if that's happened lately. So that's not a problem. Same idea, electrical appliances. Okay. Is a subject of debate amongst many of the latter rabbis. All agree that it's forbidden to turn on electrical appliances on Shabbos. There's no machlokas if you're allowed to or not. You cannot. The only machlokas is, what avera have you done? Is it biblical or is it rabbinic? And it has many, many issues over here. In certain cases, it make a difference. It's rabbinic that under certain situations, you can have a non-Jew do it for you if it's a difficult situation. If it's biblical law, then there's going to be much less opportunity for leniencies. So some rabbis say it's usher to turn on electrical appliances because that's a prohibition which we haven't yet dealt with, which is called molid, creating something new. Let's say transforming a solid into a liquid is molid. Therefore, this prohibition, a lot of authorities say that the act of switching on the electrical appliance is included in this prohibition. And they argue that the introduction of the electrical current creates something new, which is a functioning appliance. You have a non-functioning appliance and a functioning appliance. And therefore, it's molid where something new has happened. Others saying that turning on the electrical appliance on Shabbos is molid because it creates an electrical circuit that generates sparks. And the sparks are a new entity, which is molded, which is not allowed.
Well, they all generate heat.
Well, how much heat is the question? And that becomes, we're going to come to that one. That's coming up in another opinion. Another opinion says that it's maka bepatish. It's the final blow. Since the electrical appliance is useless without electricity, it's only useful when the current is switched on. We view the introduction of electrical current as finishing up the item and making it possible to use. The Chazon Ish rules that completing electrical circuit is comparable to completing a building or a wall. And therefore, it's the malacha of building. It's like building it. and it's comparable to building it, which completing the circle, a circuit is like assembling the parts utensil, which is an act of building. Others say, again by the Chazon Ish, is that the current passing through the wire raises the temperature of the wire above the temperature of Yad Soledispo, higher than 110 degrees Fahrenheit, which would be a prohibited act of cooking. So
those are all biblical, right? All those.
Well, some are, depending on, you know, but yeah, it's all kinds of things.
But you're cooking copper. How do you think cooking a copper wire?
Well, you're cooking it up. You're heating it up to over 110 degrees. You're cooking it up. You're changing its form, so to speak. The final
possibility.
Yes, yes. Right. So the final possibility is that when you initiate a new circuit, it might cause additional fuel to be burned by the power station, providing the electricity, and that would now become kindling, because you're lighting a fire, because you're causing the power station to give more power. So again, although there's a disagreement as to why you can't do it, but all the poskim say you cannot use electrical appliances. Which now, yes, sir.
If we have four or five different reasons why we can't do it and they disagree, it sounds more like we have something, we don't like it, let's figure out why we can't do it, rather than it's obvious. Because if it's not so obvious, if there's five different reasons,
no,
I could have a sixth rabbi who...
It's more than that. It could be all five reasons, yeah.
But it sounds like they didn't like it. Let's figure out why we don't like it, and let's figure out the reason that it's not okay.
No, but that's not how the rabbis didn't start. They're not in the mood to not allow things. But they're saying, each one looked at a different way, and they said, well, this one I reject, but this one I say is a problem. If there's everybody, you know, there were great rabbis, and no rabbi got up and said, you know what, I don't see anything wrong with it. You understand? So they all say that it's wrong, just they gave different reasons. You know, it doesn't matter. They're all saying you can't do it.
And they might not disagree, the other reasons are valid too.
You know, the conservatives have to come up with the same reasoning.
Because the conservatives are the opposite. Conservatives say, we want to do it.
Right.
Now let's come up with some kind of hocus pocus to make it allowed. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, right? How do they say you could drive a car?
They would have just taken it upon all these thousands of people have taken it upon themselves just to do that.
The masses are ignorant.
That was a huge move to get the car.
So they were ignorant because the masses wanted to go in a car. Finished.
Weren't there some rabbis who justified the use of electricity that came out of the
scholarly
papers on why you could? No.
No.
So, Rabbi, would this apply to the current battery as well?
Same thing.
Except for using the power source.
Okay, so they give the other ones.
It doesn't mean to say they're saying
the other ones are no. They're just giving more reasons why it's, maybe this is more of a bigger reason. Okay, now we move on to another important issue. How about opening up a refrigerator on Shabbos?
Without a light.
Well, the light is for sure a problem. If you're opening up and a light goes on, that's mamash a psikresha. That's for sure not allowed if there's a light. Let's say you've unplugged the light. Okay, now opening the door allows warm air to go into the refrigerator, which causes a rise in the inside temperature. The motor is hooked up to the thermostat. The rise in temperature will eventually cause the motor to start running. Right? So in many cases, the motor doesn't begin running until some time has elapsed. Right? Now, if on the other, you could turn on, it'll take a few minutes. Let's say that the motor just turned off. But what if the temperature in the refrigerator has been already on for a while, and when the door is open, the motor will begin immediately? So therefore, some rabbis rule that since opening the door in the refrigerator will eventually cause the motor to begin running, it's equivalent to actually starting the motor, and is therefore forbidden. And there are some shitas that will never open a refrigerator on Shabbos if the motor is off. Okay? So you can never open it when the motor is off. But many of those who allow the door to be open while the motor is running, though. Why? Because this merely causes the motor to run for a longer period of time, which is allowed. You're not really making it, you know, it's already on.
You're not doing it directly.
It's already on, so it's staying on. That's all. You're not making more.
But it's
ready on. It's on. And it's going to go on as long as it has to go. And that's already much more indirect. It's not like adding oil to the fire or something like that. It's already running. So it's ready running. When it's going to go off, I don't know when it's going to go off.
But
Right. If he's coughing now, the thing goes on and off.
They didn't have to know if there are such kind. I don't know if it works. It's all connected to the thermostat. Yeah. It can't just be every half an hour. What if you've left it on for open for a long period of time? It's going to take longer to keep it going.
So density in your fridge, how much food you have in there, and.
Okay, that's much more. That's much more. It's much more indirect. It's much more. It's very rare that when you open the door, boom, that's what,
you know what
turns it on.
The other thing
it
is,
okay,
it's a lot. A fridge is very small, and any shift of temperature is a dramatic change to it.
Yeah.
It's dramatic. This is such a big, different grumma. It's the thermostat so far away till that hot air finally gets its way in. It's so many times removed. It's not even considered a grum. It's a grum of a grum of a grumma. Okay, so indirect. Here, the fridge is there. Whoom! The hot air comes right into that fridge, and it's immediately attacking the compressor, as it were. So that could be considered something more. That's one opinion. Others maintain it's permitted to open the refrigerator even when the motor is running. They said since
not
the
running.
Even when the motor is not running, thank you. And they reason that since the motor generally does not begin running until sometime after the door is open, so its running is not regarded as a direct consequence of what you've done. It's an indirect, and a grumma is permitted.
So the fridge versus the stove?
Well, we're going to see. It's going to be very similar. Very similar in that area. So it's true on some occasions the motor may begin to turn on a second after you open because it's ready to go on anyway. But since your intention of opening the door is not to start the motor, it's a dover she'ena miskavein, something you're not interested in. And although that doesn't apply in a psik ratio where it's inevitable, we don't know if that's inevitable. Mm-hmm. We don't know that.
Yeah.
So on this basis, these rabbis say it's permitted to open a refrigerator at all times. But you should know there are those who will not open it if the motor is not running. Is not running. So opening an oven door won't be much different. Opening an oven door, when you're allowed to, we're not going to get into all the situations when you're not and when you're allowed, but when you are allowed to open the oven door, it allows cool air to enter the oven. The drop in the temperature triggers the thermostat, which ignites the fire. And some posts can rule that it's therefore forbidden to open an oven door on Shabbos, even if the oven is turned on.
You can't hear it going on in an oven where you can hear a fridge.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. And it depends. Some have the light. The little light goes on. Right? Others say the halacha status of an door is the same as that of a refrigerator door.
Okay.
And therefore it would depend. You know, but generally the rule we generally go with is the old ones was easier, there's a light to know if the thermostat's on. I don't know if the new ones have that anymore, do they? Take a look. You know, if the light's on, then you know the heat's going on. The cheaper ones still have it, no? So then you know the light's on, so open the door. And when the light's off, better to wait. But so some say it's the same thing, so you don't have to do it. So there are different opinions. Some will not use the oven finished if the oven is on. They just won't use it. They won't use it. But others say, no, let's treat it like a refrigerator door. When it's running, open it. When it's not running, don't open it. And so that's generally how we like to take it. I know the modern ones, you have no idea of when the thermostat's on.
Mine's all digital.
There's no way of knowing when it's on. Okay, so you could be semech on those opinions that allow you to do it, to assume that it's not going to go on that second. But one thing's for sure, you shouldn't dilly-dally. Like, open the door, take out what has to go out, and finish. Don't go, well, let me see. Should I take this one? Should I take that one?
I think a lot of them have a Shabbos setting where...
That's if it's Sabbath mode. It's a different story.
Yeah, well, that's just it.
The Sabbath mode's ones, you don't have to worry. They're made in that way that nothing happens immediately.
Yeah.
They're always with a delay. Even if something's going to happen, whatever it is, a 10-second delay, whatever, even on Yontif, you're able to push the buttons. It's on a delay that has the thing go on. So that's...
Is it Jewish electrician who goes around and puts these lights on?
Stove tops.
Yes,
that's different.
Yes, the Adam's house.
That's the stove top.
Let's say you have a stove top and you have a heating tray on top of it. Everything is fine with the stove and the heating tray. It's just that you have a fan that will go on in order to support that top.
I'm lost.
So
I'm sorry, I'm lost.
A heating tray is on top of a cooktop of your stove. On top of your...
What's producing the heat?
The heating tray is producing the heat.
Okay.
However, the heat that's being produced is on top of your stove top.
Okay. So what's the problem?
So there's a fan.
Where's there a fan?
Underneath the stove top because of how the stove top is set up. It's an electrical fan that goes on.
When? When?
When that heating tray is on. Yes,
okay, but that's respective of what you're doing. It's going on and off on its own, no?
It's going on and off its own. It's only going on because there's been heat produced by that heating tray.
Yeah, but I put the heating tray on before Shabbos.
Yeah.
So that's not a problem.
Thank you.
That's not a problem. Okay, that's enough for now. Tomorrow we'll continue with telephones and other issues and finish up these halachas and then move on. Do we have enough to say Kaddish? Yes, okay, you guys can say Rabban and Kaddish. Rabbi Hanani ben Akash, our Master Kaddish Baruch Hu, Zakeh Shol, figure here with Herman Shenemar. Anech Veisman, Sid Kol, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.